Maynard Meyer for Q92 Radio. With us in the studios today, we have a recent award recipient, and we're going to introduce him in just a second here, but I'm going to tell you a little bit about the award before we do that. This award was called the Seal Prize, established through the generosity of a late Minnesota businessman and philanthropist named Eldon Steele. Seal celebrates those who feed the world and contribute significantly to ending hunger, and awards of $25,000 are presented biannually in three categories: production agriculture, agribusiness, and knowledge. And one of the recipients of the Seal Prize this year, Carmen Fernholz, who farms just east of Madison here. How are you doing, Carmen?
Doing great, and loving the weather, and things are looking good.
Haven't had you on the radio for a while. I know we've talked about plays and things like that, but first time we had you talk about this award. That's quite an honor.
Well, I appreciate it, Maynard, coming from you and from a lot of the community members have recognized it, and I really appreciate that.
Tell us just what do you have to do to, or what were they looking at when they presented the award to you?
It's sort of puzzling to me, because I was just doing what I do, and that was farming. But a lot of background had to do with my relationship with the University of Minnesota. For the last 30 years, I've been engaged with a good number of the researchers there at the university. And then, of course, the work that I've done on the farm. I guess back when you say I was doing organic when organic wasn't cool,
right,
and those types of things.
One of the pioneers in organics in Minnesota. That's right.
Right, exactly. And so that was a lot of it as well. And then, as you noticed in the release, talked about organizations that I've been involved with, especially the MISA, the Minnesota Institute for Sustainable Agriculture, which really coordinated with a lot of the activities of the university in farming practices and farming production.
And it mentions that you've been down to the legislature numerous times to advocate for sustainable agriculture. And you put the focus on soil conservation and water quality. And they continue to be a highly sought mentor by other producers. That's a feather in your hat there, too.
Well, I guess it is, in a sense. And part of the reason I perhaps became a mentor was because of the organic production. In fact, not so much in the most recent years, but going back 5 years and later or earlier, this time of the year, I would get 2-3 calls a week from farmers who were interested in looking at and probably transitioning to organic farming. And so that's where the mentorship really played itself out. And I always enjoyed that. And I think probably the part of the reason I enjoyed it is because of my other life, I was a teacher. So you're always liking to communicate with people, and if you've got knowledge to give on to other people, you certainly want to take that opportunity.
That's right. And organic seems to be a little more in the mainstream now than it was probably when you first started. They kind of probably looked at you cross-eyed. What are you talking about, way back when, huh?
Oh, no doubt about it, Maynard. And
I know the look. So.
I hear you. And it was because, it's you know, when I started farming in the early 70s, we were really transitioning to a more commercial, chemical, fertilizer type of operations. Farmers were becoming much more dependent on those types of things. And so going sort of against the grain and saying, I'm not going to use those materials on my farm, people were wondering what I was trying to do. And I think, if I'm really honest, I was wondering at times as well. And I'm not saying that I didn't pay some tuition for the years.
Right.
But overall, when I look back at it, I don't think I would have done it any differently. It was and has been and continues to be very rewarding, especially with the opportunity that I've had over the last 5 years to bring another young farm family into the operation and taking over where I left off.
Okay, do organic producers have plenty of places to bring their products these days? Elevators taking organics and this kind of thing?
Some of them are, like our local Cargill elevator has been taking corn and soybeans from organic producers. And I think a lot of that product ends up out in Pennsylvania someplace. But other than that, a lot of the organic field crops, like we're talking corn, soybeans, and wheat, they've got to go a lot farther than just down the local road to the local elevator. Mm-hmm. But going back again to when I started in the 70s, it was a big challenge to find the markets. And most of them, if they existed, were miles and miles away. I'm talking hundreds and miles from where we're actually growing them. And so that and weed management were the two biggest factors that really kept organic from going any quicker than it did.
Okay. How about Kernza was one of these things that you worked on for a long time, and we talked a lot about it, and I had some newspaper articles about it, and haven't seen anything lately. What's going on with Kernza?
Kernza, as you know, is a perennial wheat. It's actually an intermediate wheat grass that's been in the works for the last 15 to 20 years. And just to give you a little background story on it, in 2011, a researcher at the university, a gentleman by the name of Dr. Don Wise, who I'd worked with closely over these last 30 years, called me up one day and said, do you want to try another intermediate wheatgrass or a perennial wheat? And I said, yeah, you and I, we've worked together a lot, so let's do it. And so he sent me about enough seed to plant 2 acres. And then over the next 5 to 6 years, I worked closely with him and some of his postdoc people at the university, and we figured out how to grow it, how to harvest it, because it is a little bit of a challenge. And then in 2018, we were able to plant 15 acres of the Kernza and harvest it in 2019. And it's been growing since then, but very, very slowly, because it's a challenge to grow. We're talking pounds of production per acre here, 200-400 pounds maybe of grain per acre. Mm. And so when you compare that to corn or soybeans or even wheat, it's a whole new challenge. And then the markets aren't quite sure how to work with it. How do you use it? Because it's at best, it's probably only going to be an ingredient in food. But an interesting sidelight that developed is a company started working with craft breweries. And now there are about 25 craft breweries, a lot of them in the Northwest, but several in the Midwest, who are using the Kernza grain as a flavor ingredient in a lot of their brewing formulas. So it's slowly evolving, but it is at the same time having a challenge with the corn and soybeans that we're accustomed to growing here. And if the market isn't there, obviously a farmer's going to be fairly hesitant to adopt it into right. their system.
And it's hard to, change isn't always easy either, you notice that. The older you get, the harder it gets too.
No question about it.
But everybody's been growing corn and soybeans and everything, and that's kind of what everybody's happy with. And to come and tell somebody they have to do something else sometimes probably doesn't go over real big.
Absolutely. If it's paying the bills and keeping the banker right. happy, you keep doing it.
That's right. What do you see as a future for organic here for you?
For me, I guess I'm sort of, stepping back. But what I see, especially with this young farm family that's taking over the operation, I see him really trying to tighten up organics because it has sort of, I guess I would say, slipped a little bit from its original principles. But the consumer is still very interested in it. But it's always becoming a price issue. Is the price for the grower competitive with the conventional price? There's always that hassle factor. I pretty well know that if I plant conventional corn and soybeans, I'm going to get a crop. But if the weather doesn't cooperate with me on an organic farm, it can be challenging. But I think the interest continues, and I think it continues to grow, especially with the idea that I think more people are connecting their health with the food that they grow. Now, this isn't to say that conventional food is any less nutritious than organic food, but if nothing else, it's certainly a mindset that people have. And there are some amounts of research that do show the benefits of it. So long story short, I think it's going to continue to grow, and especially, as I said, connecting food and health, I think, will always be a big factor.
Right, and I think especially with the finally little light being shed on for lack of a better word, the evils of processed food or heavily processed food, I think people are starting to realize maybe that's the cause of some of our ills that we have. You can talk to my daughter, the Amber, the registered dietitian nutritionist, and,
sure,
and she'll tell you all about that. You know, the fact that we all consume credit cards worth of plastic every week in our diet, every week.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So much we're getting in just from the packaging that's been absorbed into the products and things. So,
right.
Yeah.
So. And just one quick story, too. I think the organic people have to really be concerned about it becoming too industrialized. I think we want to produce organic the same way that we produce conventional food. And if we really study it, we're going to have to find out that, no, it is a different system. It is a different setup. And so we have to really maintain that differentiation.
Right. Well, Carmen, again, congratulations on the SEAL Award there. That's quite a big deal. And you're going to be going down to, I see there's a ceremony on May 28th.
Correct.
Is that where you get the official award then at that one?
That's where I get the official award.
The Bell Museum of Natural History. Where is that located?
Right on the St. Paul campus in St. Paul. And just a little sidebar note, you know, that award, that $25,000 award, I was just talking to my wife, Sally, this morning. I said, you know, we bought our farm where we live for $25,000.
Yep.
So agriculture has changed.
Yeah, you probably won't be buying another farm for $25,000.
Probably not.
All right. Well, thanks much for taking a little time to talk to us today, Carmen, and we look forward to future chats.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, Maynard. I always appreciate what you do here.
Carmen Fernholz with us here on Q92.